الحمد لله وكفى، والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. In Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, and sufficient is Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala as a wakil. In Arabic, wakil comes from the root letters waw, kaf, lam, which points to three main meanings. The first meaning is to appoint or to entrust for care or the management of something, to appoint someone or to entrust care or manage something. The second meaning is to be the guardian of one's interests. And the third meaning is to rely or reliance upon someone. And who is that one person that you appoint or you make your guardian or you rely upon? That person can be anyone, can be a friend, can be a parent, it can be your spouse, it can be some other expert specialist of their field. The trust that we put in them, that gives us confidence, conviction, and peace. So we are trusting someone, relying upon someone. In this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah Ta'ala is the ultimate wakil, al-wakil, he is the ultimate trustee. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the disposer of affairs, and he has full control of everything. So it makes sense that if anyone wants to trust someone, or they want to put their trust in anyone or anything else, they should put their trust on Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Why put our trust in anyone or anything? Because that anyone or anything will die. Everything else will perish. And Allah Ta'ala is only that being who's Al-Baqi, Allah will remain. And hence, we should always rely upon that being who is ever living, who does not die. And in these verses of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of His power, that to Allah belongs everything, and that's where it's human to trust. So even human beings, when they have to trust, they should put their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you should not worry. You should have that peace and contentment, conviction, confidence in your heart. So in practical terms, this means, number one, reliance on Allah. And in this day and age, we have drowned ourselves in various worries and depressions. What we don't realize is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created us to handle all of these worries on our own. People are trying various means to seek refuge from these anxieties. Some people are living on drugs or antidepressants to keep themselves stable. Some even going to the extent of committing suicide out of sheer hopelessness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is the message of the several ayahs, that Allah wants us to have complete reliance upon Him. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Reliance on Allah for each and every one of our affairs. Oh, now we claim to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the reality is that we haven't really understood what the haqiqat, what the reality of tawakkul is. What does Allah ta'ala truly mean by this word? So there are two misconceptions first we need to clarify about tawakkul. The first misconception, that tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your wakil, some people think it means that you leave everything upon Allah without exerting any effort on our own. In other words, you leave all the asbab, all the means to attaining a goal on our own. However, that is not true at all. Tawakkul actually means to exhaust all the asbab that you have. Do everything permissible you can, and then have complete faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over the outcome. Once a sahabi came to the Prophet and asked that, should I tie the rope around my camel or should I rely on Allah? And the Prophet said that, tie the rope and then you rely on Allah. So tawakkul does not mean tarki asbab. It does not mean that you leave the means. Some people think that having pure reliance in Allah means that we should not try, we should not do anything. No. Whether it's our belief that Allah Ta'ala is all merciful, we have to earn that mercy. Allah is the giver of wealth, we have to earn that wealth. Allah is the giver of hidayah, we have to go seek that hidayah, become magnets of that hidayah. Allah gives us ilm, we have to go seek that ilm from the scholars. We have to make use of the asbab that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in this world. And the second misconception is that we think that asbab means, or the these means, they only consist of the worldly resources. The worldly resources that we have in order to attain something. So again, we don't even know what asbab we have, all of which have to be used to the best of our abilities in order to have complete tawakkul and reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the question, what are those asbab or means that we have in order to attain something or anything? So there are three different asbab that we have to use. Number one is worldly dunyavi asbab. Dunyavi or worldly means. So for whatever it is that we want to attain, be it success in studies or job or relationship or anything, etc., we have to make sure that we utilize all the permissible means that are available to us as best as we can. So to give a student example, And if a student wants to give good, he wants to get good grades, so they should attend all the classes, do all the assignments, hard work. That person should make sure that he exerts all these efforts to the best of his ability. These are worldly means. Then second is the dini means. There are certain actions in our deen which we have to use. For example, taqwa and righteous deeds. Being firm upon the sharia, upon the sunnah, staying away from sins. All of these are dini means to attain something. Having fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, taqwa, performing amal salih, righteous deeds, they're also part of our asbab and means that we have to use along with the material efforts that we are putting forth. Allah ta'ala says in Quran several places that وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ, whoever has taqwa, whoever fears Allah, then Allah will make for him a way out of his difficulty. Allah will give him rizq from where he never imagined. Then after these two, we have the third and the final level. Yani, after having exerted all that was in our ability with all the asbab that we had, the material asbab and the dini religious asbab, after that, we surrender the matter to Allah Ta'ala. We submit the matter to Allah. We have complete faith and absolute reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sometimes we don't get something because we don't entirely use the means that we have. We usually apply only the first kind of asbab, the worldly means. And upon failure, we think that even though we worked so hard, we didn't get what we wanted. It means that we did not apply the second and the third kind of means. Similarly, we might have applied the first and the second type of asbab, but we fail to have then the third type, which is complete tawakkul, reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore we don't succeed. So first important principle that we have to remember is that we have to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our wakil, which means that you use the asbab, you use the means, all the means, but then you leave the results in the hand of Allah. You leave the results in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We use all the asbab, but our gaze should be on musabbibul asbab, that being who puts faida or benefit or efficacy in these asbab that we are using. A few stories from the Quran will help us understand this point. So this dunya, this is darul asbab. We are using different means, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts efficacy or faida or benefit in those means. Allah is musabbibul asbab. He is that being who's behind these causes, behind these asbab. These causes that we use, for example, medicine, it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether he wants to place shifa or cure in that medicine or not. Sometimes Allah ta'ala can put shifa, sometimes there is no shifa. Sometimes the zahiri, apparently there are means of honor, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person embarrassment in that situation. And sometimes you're in a situation of embarrassment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you izzat. It's like a utensil. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether Allah wishes to put milk in it or whether Allah wishes to put water inside of it. These asbab, they're in the control of Allah, they're in the power of Allah. So Allah can put whatever he wants to put in these asbab. Allah has full control. Allah is Khalik, Allah is Malik. Allah can put effect, whatever effect he wants, into these asbab. Famous story in Quran about Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, that he asked, Allah Ta'ala asked him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى, that, O Musa, what is in your right hand? And he said that, Allah, this is my asa, my stick, and I use it for support, and I use it for many other benefit, for many other things in my life. And he said that Musa alayhi salam enumerated the fawaid, the benefit of this stick that he had. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that, O Musa, Alqiha ya Musa, throw the stick. And as soon as he threw that stick on the ground, it became a snake that was racing towards him, and he became scared. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Qala, O Musa, khuzha wa la takhaf. Grab it and don't be scared. We will return it back to its original nature, its original disposition. So then say that Musa alayhi salam, he touched it and it again became a stick. So this whole story in the Quran, this, you know, the purpose was not just to tell a story. The purpose was to give and teach us a lesson. That, oh my beloved Musa alayhi salam, that thing which you thought is going to give you a lot of benefit, when you put that on the ground with our hukum, our command, that same beneficial thing became harmful to you and you started fleeing. And then that thing which you thought was dangerous for you, when our hukum, our command, we said that pick it up, that harmful and dangerous thing became beneficial to you. So a message was being conveyed that these things, they have no benefit or harm on their own in themselves. This is the hukum of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah Ta'ala can put whatever result he wants, whatever effect he wants in these things. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, he learned this lesson. So we have to remember that the hakikat or the reality of this tawakkul is that a person uses the asbab, but they turn their gaze away from the asbab and their gaze is fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's the being who puts effect on those means, who puts effects on those asbab. So for example, a person might put a seed inside the ground. He gives water, but he hopes from Allah ta'ala that Allah let this seed sprout, let this grow into a tree, and let me have my fruits and flowers. So if it's the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that tree will come out. And if it's not the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then nothing will happen. So we have to use asbab in this life, but our gaze should be on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Gaze should always be fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the hikmat and the faida of this is, the benefit of this is that if a person doesn't have their gaze on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our gaze will always be fixed on the dunya. A person will become a servant of these worldly causes. He will be looking at the wealth of other people. I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. He would always be agitated. He would try to maybe deceive other people, delude other people, do certain things outside the folds of the Sharia. He might lie. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us a lesson here that we should have this yaqeen that rizq or izzah or anything that is beneficial will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to have this belief and conviction in our heart, this is called tawakkul. That a person's gaze turns away from these things. They're using it, but their gaze is not on them. And their gaze is fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah ta'ala in Quran, in not one but many verses, Allah says that we should place our complete trust and reliance on Him. We should place our gaze towards Him. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ, that whoever relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ, then Allah is sufficient for that person. So tawakkul means that a person puts their gaze on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when a person does that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises a lot of things in the Quran. So for example, one thing that tawakkul, when a person truly relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this brings risk for a person. In one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that we are supposed to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like birds rely on him. And by the way, this word risk, no, this is again not just simply the food and provision that we eat. Allah Ta'ala has guaranteed us that He is responsible for the risk of everyone on earth. And a risk is not simply income. For different people, it can be different things. For example, for students, risk is knowledge. So risk is every single thing that we need. So in this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that we're actually supposed to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like birds rely on Him. We should have the tawakkul on Allah like the birds have tawakkul. And if you were to look at the birds closely, we can observe that every day, birds, they leave their homes to get food for the day. And before leaving the homes, they have no idea from where they will get the risk. But they set out and then they rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Birds are not like humans who, if we were in a similar situation, we may say that, oh, what should I do? My future looks so dark. I don't even know how to get food for the day. It's so gloomy and dull. Instead, every day is a new day for the birds. And they always find their risk. And this is how they live their life. So this, you can get a risk through apparent asbab, and you can also get a risk through tawakkul, from this ghaib, from the spiritual realm, by relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this first hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says that if your tawakkul was like the birds, they leave their nests with empty stomachs and they return with them full, then you will also get the risk. You will also get a risk the same way. You will also get your risk in the same way. And we are opposites. We leave with full stomachs and we leave without reliance. The birds, they still look, and again, you have to see here, the birds still look for the risk. They try to get it. They acquire the asbab. So we should remember that Allah Ta'ala has promised risk, but not promised Jannah. So instead of being worried on things that He has promised to us, we should be worried more about Jannah, for which He has made no promise, and which completely depends on our efforts. So this was one hadith. A second hadith, that one time there were two brothers, and one, he would spend the whole day with the Prophet ﷺ, and the other would work and he would earn for both of them. And the other brother, he complained that the first one doesn't help at all. And the Prophet ﷺ replied that maybe the risk that you're getting is because of him. That the risk that you're getting is because of him. So sometimes risk comes because of the weak people in our family. People who are dependents, weak. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give risk to them, and He makes us the sabab. He gives enough to us, but that's not our money. That's not completely and totally our money. It's actually supposed to be given to other people. Allah uses us to provide risk to His servants, to His creation. Similarly, the next benefit is that tawakkul also makes a person strong. And in one hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, he said that whoever wishes or whoever loves, that he should be the most strong, the most qawi among all of humanity, among all people, then that person should rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani that person who has reliance on Allah, who has trust on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will get the help from Allah. And when you get the help of Allah on your side, then that side will be the heaviest in the whole universe. So we have to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ours. We have to trust and rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we get Allah ta'ala, that, you know, we get, you know, our weight, the madad of Allah ta'ala, it is very heavy on the scale. It's the heaviest thing. And in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that watawakkal ala Allah wa kafa billahi wakila. In one hadith, the Prophet also says that that person who wishes for izzah, that person who wants izzah, that person should fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he should rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as opposed to the things that he has. And if he does that, then Allah ta'ala will make him honorable. Allah will increase the izzah, the respect, the honor of that person in his community. Two things: that if a person has fear of Allah, and number two, he relies on Allah as opposed to relying on those things that he has in his hands. And that is why over and over again in Quran we will see this: watawakkal ala Allah, watawakkal ala al-hayy allazi la yamut. Some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that fa'iza azamta, subhanallah, that when you make a decision, when you become firm in some irada, in some task, then fatawakkal ala Allah. Then put your reliance on Allah, put your trust on Allah. Inna Allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Allah Ta'ala loves the people who rely upon Him, who make Allah their wakil. And perhaps this is the greatest benefit that a person gets from tawakkul. The greatest blessing that we attain from relying on Allah is that Allah grants us His love. Inna Allaha yuhibbul mutawakkilin. Allah loves those who put their trust on Him. So from the smallest of the things to the largest of matters, we should rely and do tawakkul solely and solely on Allah Ta'ala. And then not only will Allah Ta'ala suffice for us in that matter, Allah will also grant us His love. Subhanallah. Similarly, all the Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam, they also would rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا لَنَا أَلَّا نَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. That why shouldn't we do reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That's Allah ta'ala mentions that in the Quran. If you look at the lives of the Sahaba ikram, you again see reliance, you see tawakkul. وَقَالُوا, they used to say, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. When the people of Makkah Mukarramah, they gathered all their army and the resources and their weaponry against the Sahaba. And at that time, fazadahum imana, the Sahaba, it only increased the hearts of the Sahaba. And they said, hasbunallah, Allah is sufficient for us. Wa ni'mal wakil, Allah is our trustee. And likewise, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about the believing members of this ummah, there also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this sifat, this attribute of tawakkul. That innamal mu'minuna, that indeed the true believers, alladhina, are those, iza zukirallahu wajilat kulubuhum. That when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, their hearts tremble, their hearts shiver, their hearts feel that muhabba and love. Wa iza tuliyat alayhim ayatuhu zadatum imana. And when our ayat, yani the Quran, is recited before them, it only increases their iman. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. And they rely upon their Rabb in every matter, in every of their affairs. So these are people who rely on the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Quran tells us, commands us rather, that we should do tawakkul on Him. Now, people who do tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who make Allah ta'ala their wakil, their trustee, they rely on Him, then Allah ta'ala gives them a special treatment. And if you look at our own Islamic history, we will realize that how much Allah ta'ala favored them, favored those people who did tawakkul upon Him. So for example, in the Battle of Badr, we all know that the Muslims were 313, as compared to the unbelievers who were more than 1,000 in number. Muslims had nothing but iman with them to fight the army of the kuffar. And normally before war, there are people spending time making plans, schemes to fight the army. But what they saw, that the Prophet That night he spent that time making dua to Allah Ta'ala. And he prayed so much, so much, so much to Allah Ta'ala that Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came and said that Ya Rasulullah, enough. You have made so much dua that surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help us. And then Allah Ta'ala did help them. Allah sent down so many angels from the sky to help the Muslim army. And the Muslims were victorious in that battle. Sahaba, they say that we saw people in white. They were fighting next to us in the battle. And the Mufassirin has mentioned that Allah Ta'ala never took those angels back to the sky. He has left them here on the earth for us. People who rely on Allah, the angels are still there for help. Everything is still the same. Allah is the same, Quran is the same, Islam is the same. It's only that we who are at fault, that we have stopped relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then another very famous incident mentioned in the Quran that all of us know was when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he was being thrown into that fire. And this fire was so huge, was an immense fire which was running for so many months. And finally, when he was thrown into that fire, they used a swing to push him inside. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, his iman was so strong, he had such a complete, absolute reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he was content. He had confidence, contentment, and peace in his heart. He was not crying or complaining or shikwa or shikayat. Then at that time, Angel Jibreel alayhi salam came and said to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, that if you want, then I can completely destroy this town. I can save you. And if there anything that I can do for you, tell me. So in reply, he asked that, oh Jibreel, tell me that does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know my hal? Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know my situation? And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that yes, Allah knows. And then Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam replied, Hasbi min su'ali ilmuhu bihali. That sufficient for me is the fact that Allah knows about my situation. I don't need to ask anything from you. Subhanallah. He refused the help of an angel. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be enough for me. And when he said this, then Allah Ta'ala became enough for Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala said that if you don't want any sabab in between, then I also don't want anything to come in between. And Allah himself commanded the fire. Kulna, Allah said, Ya Naru, Allah addressed the fire himself and said, O fire, kuni bardaw wa salaman ala Ibrahim. Cool down and become peaceful for Ibrahim. You and I, we look for friend in this world. Ibrahim alayhi salam was the friend of Allah, Khalilullah. Nothing better than to have Allah as your friend. So all these stories are there in the Quran about those people who did tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and when they relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gave them izzah. Allah gave them a special treatment. About Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah says, you know, a beautiful word, wa Ibrahim allazi waffa, that my Ibrahim was very loyal to me, extremely loyal to me. This word waffa, subhanallah, that Allah Ta'ala, who knows alimum bizati sudur, who knows the inner recesses of our hearts, Allah Ta'ala is saying and declaring, announcing in the Quran, that my Ibrahim was very loyal to me. Subhanallah. Then you look at the reliance of the Prophet ﷺ. He was resting underneath the tree. One unbeliever came with his sword. May yamna uka minni ya Muhammad. Said, oh Muhammad ﷺ, who will save you from me? And because the Prophet ﷺ had absolute trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately he replied, Allah will save me. And when he heard this, his sword fell down. And the Prophet ﷺ picked it up and said, who will save you now? And he started asking for forgiveness. This is tawakkul. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, so we gave you the story of Hazrat Maryam alayhi salam yesterday. and Hazrat Hajar alayhi salam, right? That's also reliance on Allah. That she got food without measure. Allah Ta'ala gave her Sayyidina Hajar alayhi salam Zamzam because of her reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another Quranic story, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam. He was locked in the room inside a palace, and the wife of the Aziz in Misr, Zulaikha, she locked all the doors and she tried to come near him. And Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam, he wanted to save himself from that sin. So he knew that the door is locked. There's no way he can come out. But he still ran at the end, knowing that the door was locked, but he made use of some asbab, some sabab, even though there was no hope. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door for him. And there's a very big lesson here in this story that sometimes when you try, even when there is no hope, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open new doors for you. When you try your hardest, even when there is no hope or umid, Allah will still reward you in some way. We don't have such big miracles happening, but small miracles can still happen. But you try, and then Allah, you leave it to Allah. You have tawakkul on Allah, you put your gaze on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Main thing is to put your gaze on Allah, to put your absolute reliance and conviction on Allah, not in the asbab that you're using. Allah ta'ala can give it to you. Allah can use asbab and give it to you. Allah can work without asbab and give it to you. So if we work with this mindset, then we will get Allah ta'ala's help. And if we don't have this mindset, then we are likely to easily get depressed, and a person becomes anxious and worried. So we should try, we should do our best, and then let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala work the rest. It is not due to our mehnat that we succeed or fail. It's not due to our efforts that we fail or succeed. It's the tawakkul. Allah is running the show. And the Sahaba Ikram, they learned this message. They learned this principle to keep their gaze on Allah, to keep their gaze fixed on the promises of Allah. They made Allah their wakil. You see this? Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he became sick. This was the caliph, the khilafah of Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu came to him and asked him that, I found out that you're sick. Is there any need that I can help you with? Any haja, any way I can reduce, you know, any way I can help you? And Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he said that there's nothing that I need from you. He then asked again that, can I help you with treatment? He said, no, I don't need it. Then Sayyidina Usman radiallahu ta'ala, he thought that Hazrat Abdullah, he has daughters. And he thought that I can maybe give some hadiyah, some money to help his daughters. But he refused to accept that also. He said that, I'm not giving it to you. I'm giving it to maybe your, you know, your daughters. This can be beneficial for them. And after you, once you pass away, your daughters can use this money for their risk and sustenance. At that point, Hazrat Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala, he said that, I have all my daughters, I've made them memorize Surah Waqia. All my daughters, I've made them memorize Surah Waqia, and I've heard the Prophet ﷺ say that whoever recites Surah Waqia every night before going to bed, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save that person from poverty. So I have no fear regarding the fate of my daughters. I'm placing them in the protection of Allah. This was the tawakkul that they had. Once we were reading a book, and it was a very interesting thing that came up. There was a story about an abid, or a worshipper. And someone asked him that, you don't do any work, you're always worshipping Allah Ta'ala. So where will you get the rizq from? And he said Go ask the sender of risk. Go ask that being who sends me risk. He gives it to me. You can ask him where he gives it to me. Subhanallah. A small thing, but very deep. So, the reality, the first meaning of tawakkul is that a person, they make use of asbab, but they keep their gaze fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person, they don't rely on their asbab. A person, they don't rely on their asbab. Rather, they're relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A lot of times this happens that we begin to rely on our asbab. We rely upon our job. We rely on our degree. We rely on the money. We rely on so many things, on our intelligence. But reliance should be only and only on Allah. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. That have tawakkul only on Allah, and sufficient is for you. Sufficient is for you to have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your wakil. Similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has also taught us certain du'as that we can use to ask Allah ta'ala for tawakkul. In one du'a, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allahumma ja'alni mimman tawakkala alaik. That O Allah, make me among those people who have tawakkul on you. Allahumma ja'alni mimman tawakkala alaik. If we want to learn tawakkul, we should look at the example of a child. Someone asked him, what do you mean by a child? He said that if you look at a small child, he only knows his mother. And anytime he needs anything, he just starts crying. He wants milk, he starts crying. He wants food, he starts crying. He wants to sleep, he starts crying. So anytime he knows he needs anything, he starts crying. He knows that all my expectations are tied with my mother. And all I have to do is to cry, and my mother, she will attend to all my needs. This is the kaifiyat of a person who has tawakkul. That their kaifiyat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the same thing. That my gaze is fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That whenever I have any need, I just need to present myself before Allah. Allah will fulfill my need. I need to ask Allah, I need to cry before Allah, and Allah is like is like the mother was to the child. That the child only knows his mother, he knows no one else. This is the exact kaifiyah of a mutawakkil person. He only knows Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. So there are three alama, three signs of a person who has reliance, of a person who is mutawakkil, a reliant person. Number one, he does not ask anyone other than Allah. He only asks whenever he wants to ask, he asks only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La yas'alu. Number two, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives something to him, he does not return it. Wala yaruddu. He does not return it, but he takes it from Allah because he knows that this is coming from Allah. He knows that people, they're just being used by Allah to give something to him. Allah is sending that ni'mah, that inam, the blessing to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using people to send that risk. So whenever he receives anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not let it go. He takes it. He accepts it because it's coming from Allah. And number three, wala yahbisu, that if he gets something which is more than his zarura, more than his need, he doesn't sort of keep on accumulating. Rather, if he has excess, he spends that excess among other people, those who are more needy. These are three signs or alamat of a person who has reliance on Allah. That number one, they don't ask anyone other than Allah. Number two, if they receive anything from Allah, they don't return it, they keep it, and they do shukr. And number three, that if they get excess, something which they don't require or they don't need, then they don't accumulate. They keep it, they spend it on other people. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, it's written about him that when he was thrown inside the well by his brothers, and this was a blind well which was filled with mud, there was no water, and when he was inside that well, he fell down, he made a dua to Allah Ta'ala, Hasbi Allahu wa ni'mal wakil. Hasbi Allah, that Allah is sufficient for me, wa ni'mal wakil, and Allah is the best of trustees. Allah is the best of wakil. And in the book it's mentioned that because of the barakah of this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him water to drink and food to eat inside that well. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who can manifest his power at the recitation of this kalima, at the recitation of this statement, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil, then why shouldn't we have expectations with that Allah? Why shouldn't we trust that Allah ta'ala? Why shouldn't we have that absolute conviction and reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We should learn this. We should learn reliance, and then we will see how there will be contentment and peace in our life. So this is the first lesson that we learn from this, that we have to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our wakil, and we have to use asbab while keeping our gaze fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second lesson that comes from this word is that we have to hand all our affairs to Allah ta'ala. Sometimes it happens in our life that a person, they have things and they hand it over to other people. They surrender or submit things to other people. They hand over their affairs to other people. Sometimes a person, a husband, he leaves his house for some journey and he gives everything to his wife. That tells his wife that take care of the children, take care of the relatives, take care of the servants, tell the servants to take care of the animals, of the pets. Mother, when she leaves for Hajj, she calls the eldest son and says that take care of the younger siblings. If there is any need for money, then this is my bank account. So if you look at the way we lead our life, that we assign our things to other people. We submit our task to other people. So this is a point to think about, that when we assign and hand over our task to other people, they're other people. And these people, they don't have absolute control. They don't have absolute control, but still we hand over things to them. And on the other hand, we have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that being with absolute control over everything. So why shouldn't we hand over our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Anytime we feel in our life there's some decision, some mamla, some task, we should assign that task to Allah. We should hand over our affairs of life to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hand over the task to Allah. This is a very important lesson, that in terms of the asbab, again, living in this dunya, you can give it to your parents, your mother can give it to the eldest son. But at the level of musabbibul asbab, our gaze should be that we should hand over in our heart everything to Allah. That Allah, we're handing over this thing to you. Even though in terms of worldly, apparently, we're giving it to different people here. But the emotion, the kefiah in our heart should be that we're handing, we're submitting, we're surrendering all our tasks in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that being to whom we should surrender all our tasks. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, that I hand over all my affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ayat of the Quran. وَأُفَوِّدُ أَمْرِي إِلَى اللَّهِ, that I hand over all my affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah ta'ala is so merciful, so compassionate, so kareem with us, and Allah ta'ala has all the power, all the control, so who can be a better muhafiz, a protector than Allah? Who can be a better caretaker than Allah? Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Allah is the best of protectors. So the Sharia teaches us that we should make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our al-wakil. And this means, secondly, that we should hand over all our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can pray 2 rakat nafil and then say, make dua that, oh Allah, that I'm handing over all my affairs to you. We should try to make this dua sometime and do this. Try this technique. Have reliance on Allah. Do etimad on Allah. Try to depend on Allah. And then see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us success in that task. And if you want to look at the best example of this, Allah ta'ala has given us a story of the mother of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And again, we recite these ayat, we don't take that lesson. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's mother, she had a son. And at that time, Fir'aun was the king. And Fir'aun, anytime there was any son that was born, he would kill him. So Musa alayhi salam's mother, she was naturally very scared. She had this fear. What will happen to my son? He will also be killed. So for some time, she gave milk to her son. And then after that, when she realized that people will find out that I have a son, so she had to do something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِي. That first we told the mother of Musa alayhi salam, sent ilham to her, that give your milk, feed your milk to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And then we said to her that فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ, that if you fear that Fir'aun or his guards will come and take this baby away from you, فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ, then you should put this child inside the river. And then Allah says, Allah continues, فَيُلْقِهِ الْيَمُّ بِالسَّاحِلِ, and when you put the baby inside the water, then this baby will be carried across to the other side of the river, to the sahil, to the edge of the river. يَأْخُذُ عَدُوُّ لِي وَعَدُوُّ لَهُ, and there he will be picked up by a person who will be my enemy and the enemy of this child. Now look at the test, look at the trial, that she's a mother and she's thinking that, Ya Allah, if you want to save my son, you can save my son here underneath the roof of my house. No one will know. I can maybe hide my son in one corner of the room. The guards can enter and they can leave. But Allah Ta'ala wanted to break the mushahida. This is tawakkul. Allah Ta'ala wanted to break the observation, break the zahiri asbab that you are thinking here. Allah Ta'ala wants to break that sabab. And that's why Allah says that you should have yakin on my zat, have a reliance on my zat. Put your son inside the water, inside the river. Now your akal will say, your intelligence will say that if you put the baby inside the water, baby will die. Acha, how should you put the baby? Allah says, put him inside some kind of a basket. And then let that basket flow on the river. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam's mother, her iman was so strong, her tawakkul was so great that she went ahead and did it. She placed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and she let him go. So to cut the long story short, that basket was picked up by Fir'aun, who was going on a stroll with his wife Asiya alayhi salam. And when they picked up the basket and they saw the baby, so Sayyidina Musa immediately, Sayyidina Asiya alayhi salam, she said that let's keep him. Allah Ta'ala had put such a tajalli, such a beauty on the face of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, that her heart was attracted to it. Wa alqaytu alayka muhabbatan minni. That, oh my beloved Musa, we had placed the tajalli of muhabba upon your face. And hence, Fir'aun's wife, she picked him and said, La taqtuluhu, don't kill him. Asa an yanfa'ana aw natakhidhahu walada wa hum la yash'urun. We will adopt him as our son and we will take faida and benefit from him, and he wouldn't even know. So Fir'aun, who was a killer, a murderer of thousands of baby boys, this was that one son which Allah wanted to save. He was saved. Fir'aun did not kill him, and he agreed to the advice of his wife. And he also thought that when I will raise him up in my own palace, then he will be a son. He will agree. He will be aware of my favors upon him. He won't rebel against me. So Fir'aun, he accepted. And he brought Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam back to his palace. So when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam came inside the palace, now the next question was that we have to nurse him. So a lot of women tried, but Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam would not accept the milk of any woman. And Allah Ta'ala says in Quran, وَحَرَّمْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ, that we had made haram the milk of other women for Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Now whatever any woman would come, she would try to feed him, say that Musa alayhi salam would not accept the milk. And so on one side, Fir'aun, he desperately wants that someone should come and nurse him. And say that Musa alayhi salam is also hungry. And on the other hand, you know, women are coming, they're coming and coming. And Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam is not accepting the milk of any mother, of any woman. So as a result, Fir'aun, he had to stay up the entire night. And he was very, you know, agitated, very, you know, very, you know, parishan, that what should I do? This is a new problem now. So then in the morning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in Quran, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا, that Musa alayhi salam's mother, she also spent the entire night in such a state that her heart was also very saddened. She also had this grief. You know, you can imagine such a big test and trial and tribulation for the mother of Musa alayhi salam. Very big test. And Allah Ta'ala continues that if we hadn't firm and established her heart, then she would have spilled the secret. She would have told other people. But we kept on giving consolation to the mother of Musa alayhi salam. She did not cry. She kept that hidden in her heart. When morning came, she said to her daughter that go and check out the condition of your brother. Go to the palace. So the sister of Musa alayhi salam, she went to the palace, and she was also a young girl. And when she came to the palace, she saw Ajib Tamasha. There is a whole, you know, a scene there. That different women are coming and they're trying to present their milk and he's not accepting. And Fir'aun also, he spent the whole night sleepless, and he also wants and desperately that something could be, you know, there should be a solution to this problem. So the sister, she comes and says to Fir'aun, Hal adullukum ala ahli baytin yakfulunahu lakum wahum lahu nasehun, that should I tell you someone from the Ahle Khana, from people of your household, that who can present milk and the milk will be accepted by Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that person will also be very khair khwa, a person of goodwill, good intention for him. So Fir'aun, initially he became a bit hesitant, said, what do you mean? Who are you? And then she said that I'm one of your people. I'm one of your, you know, living under your rule. So I also wish the well for you. I also have good feelings for you, good intentions for you. So Fir'aun then said, okay, go get that person who you think will be able to solve this problem. So she quickly came back home and said, oh, my mother, Musa, baby Musa is crying and he's not accepting the milk of any person. Come and let's go to the palace. So the mother of Musa alayhi salam, she came inside the palace
And she took the baby in her lap, and Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam accepted the milk and started drinking. And at that time, there was a big relief that finally someone was able to solve this problem. Finally, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam has accepted the milk of some woman. So Fir'aun became very happy. He said that let this woman, she should not leave the palace. She should sleep here with us in our palace. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam's mother, she was with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam in the palace. Fir'aun honored her, gave her izzah, ikram. And after some time, however, the mother, she said to Fir'aun, that look, I want to go back to my own cottage. I can't live here in this palace of yours. I don't have contentment here, peace here in this palace. So Fir'aun said that, okay, if you wish to go back into your cottage, you can go and you can take Musa alayhi salam with you. You can keep nursing him, and I will send you your salary in your cottage. Allahu Akbar. So Musa alayhi salam's mother, she came back to her cottage with Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and plus some salary from Fir'aun for nursing her own child. And Allah Ta'ala says about this in the Quran, فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا, that we returned him back to his mother so that your eyes will get coolness from him. وَلَا تَحْزَنَا, and so that you will not be sad. وَلِتَعْلَمَا, and so that you will know أَنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ, that the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is haq. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, but many people, they don't know, they don't understand. So in this story, Allah Ta'ala in Quran is giving us a message that a mother, she relied on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of her son. And then look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped her in such a special way. Allah Ta'ala fulfilled his promise. So if me, you, if all of us, we can also rely on the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we can put our reliance on Allah, if we can make Allah Ta'ala our wakil, then we will also be helped by Allah Ta'ala in the same way. Allah is saying that we will also help you in the same way. It's something ajeeb that we rely on our own abilities, we rely on our own wealth, we rely on our studies and job. We don't rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't hand over our tasks and affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the message. Two principles that we have to learn, that we have learned. One is that making Allah Ta'ala our wakil means, firstly, that we have to use asbab. We have to use all the resources, the sources, the means that we have. But our gaze should always be fixed on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the musabbibul asbab. We make use of asbab, but we leave the result in the hands of Allah. Our gaze, our nazar is always on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second lesson that we have learned is that whenever we want to hand over anything, we should hand over all our affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala our wakil. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves this act. When we rely upon Him, when we express that, Ya Allah, we have yaqeen over you, we have i'timad, reliance, and we trust you, Allah loves this. Allah loves this. Allah ta'ala wants that my servants, they should do izhar of their muhabba for me. They should do izhar, they should manifest their iman. They should manifest the trust that they have on me. They should manifest the reliance that they have on me. And in return, I'm going to give them more than their expectations. I'm going to give them izzah in this dunya. I'm going to give them izzah in their iman. So this is something for us to think about. That when such a person, when he relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then this person will go and meet Allah ta'ala, how much inamat and blessings would Allah Ta'ala give to such a person? So that's why again the Prophet ﷺ has taught us this dua, that we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this tawakkul, to increase us in tawakkul, and we should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us this tafweez, that Allah, we hand over all our affairs to you. Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayka wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayka wa fawwadtu amri ilayk. Wa fawwadtu amri ilayk. That, oh Allah, I hand over all my affairs to you. We should make this dua, and we can even make this dua, like I said, in the Quran, that inni wa ufawwidu amri ilallah, that I hand over all my affairs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the tawfiq to act on these teachings. May Allah ta'ala grant all of us this tawakkul, this yaqeen, this iman, this reliance, this conviction, this trust on Him. May Allah ta'ala save us from always in running after asbab. Again, we have to use asbab, but we have to leave the results in the hands of Allah ta'ala. And we should make dua to Allah ta'ala, that oh Allah, that grant for us khair. Allah, give us afiyah, give us that which is better for us. Allah, grant us khair in all and every single matter of our life. So we make dua to Allah Ta'ala, that may Allah Ta'ala become our wakil. May Allah Ta'ala include our names among those people who have kamil tawakkul and kamil tafiz and taslim. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحان ربي الوهاب اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, You are our Malik, You are our Khalik, You are our Razik. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to You tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we ask You to accept our Tawbah tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, 9-10 days of Ramadan have passed.
The Ashra of Rahmah is coming to an end. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you in these last moments, Ya Rabbi Kareem, to shower your Rahmah upon all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, forgive us for all of our sins, for all the sins that we remember, for all the sins that we have forgotten. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, remove all the effects of sins from our heart, all the effects of sins from our life. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we come to you tonight in Tawbah. Allah, we ask you to accept our Tawbah tonight. Allah, we ask you to accept our Tawbah tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, your beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that a person who makes Tawbah is like that person who's never sinned. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept our Tawbah tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you love when people repent to you. You love when people return back to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we are returning back to you. Ya Allah, we ask you to accept our return. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, take us back. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we want to come back into the folds of your Rahmah. Allah, we want to come back into the folds of your Hidayah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you, Ya Allah, to accept us, Ya Allah, for this ni'mat of Tawbah, to include our names amongst the Tawabin, the Ta'ibin. Ya Allah, accept us for the renewal of our Iman. Restore us back to the path of Taqwa. Restore us back to the path of the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, overlook our mistakes and deficiencies. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us to make this switch. Allah, enable us to leave all those things that are distasteful to you. Leave all those things that are repugnant to you. Enable us, Ya Allah, to make this hijrat towards Siddiq, to make this hijrat towards Taqwa. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us the karahat of sins. Grant us the karahat of all those people who took us towards sins. Grant us the karahat, Ya Allah, of the environment of sin. Grant us karahat of the memories of sin. Grant us karahat, Ya Allah, of everything that reminds us of sins. Ya Rabbi Kareem, وَقَرِّحْ إِلَيْنَا الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْإِسْيَانَ. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to adorn Iman in our hearts, to accept us for the revival of Iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, no matter how soiled and how blackened these hearts are, Allah, these hearts have muhabba for you, Ya Allah. Now we ask you, Ya Allah, to accept these Iman, to accept the Iman in our hearts, to accept us for the revival, the renewal of Iman. Ya Rabbi Kareem, fill our hearts with Kamil Iman, fill our hearts with Kamil Muhabba, fill our hearts with Kamil Remembrance, fill our hearts with Kamil Taqwa and Tawakkul. Ya Rabbi Kareem, include our names amongst the Mutawakkileen, amongst the Tawabin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, enable us, Ya Allah, through this attribute of Tawakkul, to become amongst the Muhibbin and the Mahbubin. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, enable us, Ya Allah, to follow in the footsteps of the Nabiyeen, the Sahaba, the Sadiqeen, the Salihin, the Shuhada. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you to accept this from all, to accept all our pious intentions from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, when we think about the Ameen that the Prophet said to the Baddua of Angel Jibra'il alayhi salam, Allah, Ya Allah, we become scared about ourselves. Allah, 9-10 days have passed already. Allah, we still haven't been able to earn your forgiveness. We still haven't been able to get ourselves forgiven. Ya Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, to grant us, Allah, on this night, a special gaze of mercy, a special gaze of rahmah. Allah, every night, Allah, thousands of people are taken. The names are lifted from the pages of hellfire, and the names are put in the people who are destined for Jannah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for that exit tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, include our names amongst the people of Jannah. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, for that beloved place called Jannatul Firdaus. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-Jannatul Firdaus bighayri hisab. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-Jannatul Firdaus bighayri hisab. And Ya Allah, we ask you to save us from Jahannam. Allah, save us from the azab of Jahannam. Save us, Ya Allah, from the azab of the Qabr, from the azab of the punishments of the Qabr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from the torture of grave. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, save us, Ya Allah, from all the fitnas of this dunya, all the fitnas of the Qabr, all the fitnas ma'abad al-Qabr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us itminan. Allah, grant us salamti and peace. Allah, grant us conviction and contentment. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us people of itminani qalb. Allah, grant us zikr in our hearts. Allah, make us people who are zakirin Allah kaseera wa zakirat. Allah, grant us your ma'iyya that comes through zikr. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people who feel you in our salah, who feel you in our tilawa, who feel you in our dua, who feel you in every ibadah that we do. Allah, make us people who feel you in every moment of our life. Allah, we want to feel your nearness, your closeness, your intimacy. Allah, we want to feel your proximity. Allah, include our names, Ya Allah, among the Muqarribun. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us this ni'mat of Ma'iyat tonight, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us this ni'mat of Ma'iyat, Ya Allah. Allah, we want to have istihzar of that Ma'iyah. Allah, we want to feel that intimacy and proximity with you. Allah, we want to feel in our hearts that you love us. We want to feel in our hearts that you're smiling at us. We want to feel in our hearts that you're happy with us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, Allah, revive our hearts, Ya Allah. Allah, remove the ghafla from our hearts. Allah, remove the darkness and impurities from our hearts. Allah, freshen our hearts. Revive our hearts. Allah, make our hearts zakir once again. Allah, grant us qalbi salim. Grant us qalbi munib. Allah, accept our hearts with the renewal of iman, Ya Allah. Allah, fill our hearts with your muhabba. Fill our hearts with your zikr. Allah, fill our hearts with your taqwa. With ta'alluq with you, Allah, to the Allah, enable us to Allah love you with the full extent of our heart. Allah, enable us to love you with the full extent of our heart. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, fill our hearts with the brim to the brim with your muhabba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us intensity in your muhabba, shiddat in your muhabba, extremity in your muhabba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us dawam in your muhabba, yaksui in your muhabba. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept us, Ya Allah, amongst the ashikin. Ignite the flame of muhabba in our hearts for you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove all the unlawful loves, all the unlawful desires, all the unlawful yearnings, all the unlawful longings, all the unlawful cravings. Ya Rabbi Kareem, remove all the unlawful, the impermissible from our hearts. Allah, make your muhabba dominant, predominant in our hearts. Allah, make your muhabba ghalib over heart. Make everything else maghloob, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, come into our hearts. Allah, enter into our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, take out everything else from our hearts. Allah, take out all the masiva, all the ghairullah from our hearts. Ya Rabbi Kareem, make us people of zikr. Allah, make us people who are steadfast on the zikr. Grant us the talab and shauk for zikr. Grant us the talab and tadab for zikr. Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, the desire, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, the josh for zikr, the passion for zikr, the yearning, the craving for zikr. So become among those people who remember you when they're sitting, they're standing, or they're lying on their sides. To become among those people who remember you every single moment of the day and night, such that nothing can distract us from your remembrance. Nothing can take us away from your remembrance. Nothing can delude us. Nothing can deceive us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, make us, Ya Allah, established firmly and completely and absolutely upon your remembrance. Allah, open this door of zikr for us. Allah, enable us to walk through this door. Allah, enable us to walk through this door. Allah, make us amongst the zakirin, Allah, kaseera wa zakirat. Allah, remove our names from the ghafilin. Allah, remove our names from the absent-minded, from those who are forgetful, from those who are heedless. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from us tonight. Allah, purify our nafs. Allah, we are sick and tired of this nafs that we have, of the shararat of this nafs, of the delusion, illusions of this nafs. Even in Ramadan, Allah, we are not able to save ourselves from the temptations of this nafs. Allah, do kamil islah of this nafs in this month of Ramadan. Allah, we present our kalb and nafs to you. Allah, we ask you to do islah of this nafs and kalb. Make our kalb kalb salim. Make our nafs nafs mutma'inna. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we don't have the masajid this Ramadan to go to. Allah, we don't have the masajid. Allah, we don't have the masajid to go to, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, it's only you, Ya Allah. Allah, it's our house, it's our room and you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, we ask you for your rahmah. Allah, we ask you for your rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask for your rahmah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we don't have the masajid this Ramadan. Allah, we don't have the taraweeh in the masajid this Ramadan. Allah, we don't have the itikaf this Ramadan. Allah, we don't have the sohbat of salihin this Ramadan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we just have you, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we don't have any asbab of the dunya, Ya Allah. Allah, no dunyavi asbab this time, Ya Allah. No dunyavi asbab this Ramadan, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we do tawakkul on you. Allah, we put our reliance on you. Allah, we put our etamad on you. We put our trust on you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, don't deprive us of the of rahmah, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Allah, change our hearts in our rooms, Ya Allah. Change our hearts here, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. cast a special glance of rahmah upon our hearts. Allah, soften our hearts towards your remembrance. Allah, incline our hearts towards your remembrance. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, accept these du'as from all of us tonight. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us, Ya Allah. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, accept us, Ya Allah. Allah, we're presenting ourselves before you from the tips of our hair to the soles of our feet. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we're presenting ourselves. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Kabul, Ya Allah. Allah, accept us, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. We have no amal that we can present. We have no ibadah that we can present. Allah, we ask you out of your rahmah that you accept us. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah. Whatever pious intentions that any one of us have in our hearts, Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you to grant us our intentions. Grant us more than our expectations. Grant us more than what we can ask from you. Grant us according to your own shan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, whatever we weren't able to ask from you, Allah, you are Kareem. You are Rahim. Allah, you are Hanan. You are Manan. Ya Rabbi Kareem, grant us, Ya Allah, out of your sifat of Rahimi and Kareemi. Allah, our hal is like the hal of the brothers Sayyidina Musa, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. They came to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam and said that we want to get ghalla and crop from you, but we don't have the price that we can pay to you. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Allah, we also come to you with the same plea. Allah, we want your maghfirah. We want your rahmah. Allah, we have nothing that we can present to you. Allah, we have no amal that we can present to you. Allah, we have only sins and ghafla. Allah, we look into our life. We look into our hearts. Allah, we have nothing except for sins and ghafla. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Rahim, Ya Allah, Ya Rabbi Kareem, present our... Allah, we present our, Allah, we present our sins to you. Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, to convert these sins into, to convert these sayyat into hasanat. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, grant us the sadaqah. Ya Allah, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam gave sadaqah to his brothers. Allah, you are more Kareem than Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah, we ask you for the sadaqah. Allah, we ask you for the sadaqah of your Rahimi, for the sadaqah of your Kareemi, for the sadaqah of your Sattari, for the sadaqah of your Ghaffari. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, conceal our faults, overlook our faults. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you are our Rabb. Allah, you are our Rabb. Ya Rabbi Kareem, Ya Allah, you love us more than our mother. You love us more than our father. Allah, all the mothers, if their love was to be combined together, Allah, all the love that exists in this dunya, Allah, if all the love was combined, Ya Rabbi Kareem, your love will be still more than that, Ya Allah. Ya Rabbi Kareem, we ask you out of the love that you have for us, Ya Rabbi Kareem, that accept us, Ya Allah. Allah, shower us, Ya Allah, your maghfirah and your rahmah. Include our names amongst those people who have been forgiven. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim wa sallallahu ta'ala 'ala habibihi khayr khalqihi Muhammadin wa 'ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.